Well, it's the last of the Minor Prophet series today. And I hope you've found that although these are minor prophets, that's what we call them, their message is not, excuse me, I'm going to get rid of these, their message is not minor. And you can't get more major than this message in this passage this morning. A vision of a utopian future that God is bringing about and the promise of a new leader who will bring peace. But this is more than a political party manifesto being lined up for the next election. In the New Testament, this passage, especially that second part, Micah chapter 2, points to the coming of Jesus born at Bethlehem, which we will celebrate tonight and tomorrow. The religious leaders in Matthew chapter 2, verse 6, when Herod them about God's new king that is coming, they quote this passage, and for them through the centuries, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are of old, from ancient times." For them, this was God's word and promise that the long-awaited king would come. Born in David's ancient town, the greatest king, fresh hope for their nation under oppression. But for Christians, of course, with a new understanding of Jesus, God with us, the message is bigger still, one that we need to receive. Micah was speaking into an uncertain age, 800 years before the coming of Jesus. Jerusalem was a city whose population in that period grew fourfold as refugees streamed from the north and territory of Israel destroyed by the Assyrian Empire, now knocking on the doors of Jerusalem. And like most of these minor prophets, if you've figured this out, maybe you've figured this out already, he brings both good news and bad news to them. He brings bad news that just as Israel has been abandoned, so the nation, the city, nation of Judea and the city of Jerusalem will be destroyed. And yet, on the other side, the good news is that with God there is hope. That on the mountain of the Lord's temple, it will be established and people will stream to it. Good news and bad news. And looking at their situation, the bad news seemed closer at hand. Destruction seemed more likely a prospect than this vision of hope, which seemed a very distant thing. Good news and bad news. I wonder which seems closer to you this Christmas. Good news or bad news? Throughout human history, there have been many visions of utopian cultures and societies. The Greeks, over 2,000 years ago, had a vision. Plato wrote his book, The Republic, his vision of an ideal society. And within Christian history as well, other books have been written. In the 16th century, Thomas More wrote his book, Utopia, a vision of an idealistic society, something to aspire for. And yet More was a realist as well, as an inspirationalist, because Utopia actually means no place. No place. There was no place that was like this. And today, in our own visions of the future, and those of you who like science fiction will know this is true, the visions of the future are less utopian, but dystopian. Dystopian, which means not a good place. Just an amplification of our fears and worries and bad news about the world today. Micah's utopian vision, though, is beyond human happening and beyond human giving. It's given by God. The way it's expressed in terms of temple and city and land is shaped by the experiences of the Jews' life and history. And yet, strangely, the things he speaks about connects with our world still. And not always in good ways. He speaks of Jerusalem as a place where people gather, where God will teach his ways to people. Well, a lot of people go to Jerusalem. Already been to Jerusalem? Yeah. Lots of people go to Jerusalem. But it's not exactly a place of harmony and agreement, is it? It's come back into the news recently with the Americans declaring it the capital of Israel. Words which have stirred up injustice and hatred and violence and threats of retaliation, which sounds as if they've come from the school playground. Micah speaks about the need for peacemaking in his world and in ours, that they will beat their swords into plowshares. A utopian vision which seems far, far away. As the USA and North Korea rattle their sabers at one another. Oh, there is hope. There is hope. Did you know in July this year the United Nations Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons was passed? Did you hear about that? No? No, neither had I until I went to the Liberal Democrat Party conference and they wanted me to ask MPs and politicians about it. I had no idea that they had signed a treaty to prohibit nuclear weapons. And the reason is that the nuclear powers of this world, including ours, declined to be involved in the discussions. So it never made our news. It's a toothless treaty anyway. But a vision of a utopian future. And anyway, you don't need such weapons to fight. The drums of war rumble around the world this day, this night, and they will do tomorrow on Christmas Day, the day the angels declared peace on earth, goodwill to all men. In many parts of our world, that will be a far distant vision in Syria and Afghanistan and Yemen and the Congo and many other places you could mention. And Micah's vision here speaks of economic certainty in a world which seems so uncertain that people would be able to sit under their own vine tree and by their own fig tree. Images of security sucked by conflict in our world that leaves people hungry and homeless and dependent on food aid. And even in the relative security of our land, people live in fear of loss of job and redundancy and rising inflation and low-paid jobs and despair of owning not their own vine or fig tree, but their own home, their own place to live. Stories of homelessness have filled our screens in these last few days, but they will fade away once Christmas is over, even though the people are still there. Strange. How things have not changed in 2,500 years. That we still need this utopian vision of what God might bring into the world, which seems still so far away. Well, by now you might be saying, for goodness sake, David, it's Christmas Eve. Stop. Stop. We know 2017 has not been a good year. Roll on 2018. Let's hope it's better. Shall I let you into a secret? Carolyn knows this secret. Shall I let you into a secret? I'm not a big fan of New Year. I'm not a big fan of New Year. I would happily go to bed before midnight. Although the fireworks on the green are a draw, I have to say, in Crocs Green. I would happily go to bed at midnight. To me, it's just a celebration it just looks for hope in the wrong place. There is no hope in the turning of a page of a calendar and the opening of a new diary of whatever you mark a change of date. For me, it's a week late. It's a week late. To me, we should be looking to tonight as we roll over from Christmas Eve into Christmas Day, because this is real hope. This is where it flows from, the coming of Jesus. You know, we can feel so small in the face of these huge problems that our world and our society faces, and yet we can feel powerless to do anything about it. We don't sit in the UN. We do not sit around the cabinet table. And yet this utopian vision does not arise from the center of power. It arises from the fringes. It arises from the sidelines. It arises from the small. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old. When in Matthew's gospel, when Herod heard those words, he was scared. He was not someone who followed God's way. He was not someone who sought peace. He impoverished people and enslaved them with his grand building projects, including the new temple in Jerusalem. But he was worried that God was at work in a different way and against him, with a new king coming, not arising from a prince in the palace, but a child in a manger. Not a politician with a better plan of a utopian dream for the future. Not a nowhere life, but a life here and now. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, who followed God's ways, who sought to bring peace to and between people, who sought to bring security, the security not of material needs, but knowing that God supplies our deepest needs, gives us value and loves us and releases us from guilt and forgives us. And shares that utopian life that we see in Jesus as he grows with us through his Spirit. Hope arising from the fringes, from a utopian vision of life made real amongst us as God lives with us. And so 2.5 or more thousand years later, people still seek the hope of a better life. And we do too. We may feel small. We may feel on the fringe. We may feel we have little to contribute. But you, small as you are, out of you will come one whose origins are of old. The hope of God, baby in a manger, incarnate as a human being, incarnated in you by faith and through the Spirit. Small though you are, the babe in the manger is a wondrous thing. The babe in you is also miraculous. We allow it to grab you again this year, to inhabit you again this year, this familiar story of Jesus come. That last verse in Micah 4, verse 5. The commentators think this is a bit of a call and response used in worship. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods. We will walk in the name of the Lord, our God forever. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods. We will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever. Amen.